Ephesians in the third chapter. Let's see everybody out this morning.
A question for you to think about. Some of you won't have to think very long. Who hates to read? Don't raise your hands. Who hates to read? Maybe you're like me. When the teacher told us, okay, everybody go read quietly, curl up with a good book, I think I would have died. I would have rather died. I did die spiritually at that moment. When we had homework to read and then we had to answer the questions that night, it was like that night never ended for me. I had better things to do. I could go play basketball. I could play video games. I had other things that were much more interesting. And you know, that battle never changed for me from elementary all the way through high school. But how do you respond when God says this through Paul? Look at Ephesians 3 and verse 1. It says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he has made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." When you read, you may understand the Apostle Paul's knowledge in the mystery of Christ. How do you respond to that? Is it, "That sounds awful, I think I'd rather die than read"? Or maybe you're fine with reading, but the reading of the Scriptures, it's just kind of hard for you to get into it each day. It's kind of hard for you to have that as a regular practice. Or maybe you're here and you're an avid reader. You love to read. And you've been reading the Scriptures, but you can't really remember the last time you sat down, not to check off a daily reading, but to read it to be convicted, to be changed. As a disciple of Christ, as a disciple, a student, as a student of Christ, a learner of Christ, are some of those attitudes really even an option for me? How did God decide to make himself known to me? Yes, there was incredible speeches in the Bible. I would have loved to have listened to some of them. But not everybody was standing there in that audience. How did most people receive the truth from those speeches? They read it. They read the truth. He got that truth to us through the sacred writings, through the Scriptures. And I've been particularly challenged by this, convicted by this of late. Cammie and I have been reading a biography about a gospel preacher named Foy Short. He preached in Zimbabwe in southern Africa for most of his life. And I wanted to share with you a couple quotes about that that really was challenging to me. "The efforts of African brethren to attend Bible study sessions always impressed Foy. He said, many of those people do not have the money for bus tickets on very undependable bus lines. They either have to walk or travel by donkey or ox cart. And I remember vividly a woman who had lost one of her legs, yet she walked with crutches 12 miles to attend a Bible class. Jim Short, his son, recalled receiving a similar lesson of his own when he was visiting. I remember a lesson in humility from my visit in 2006. I was feeling a little proud of myself for getting up at 5 a.m. on a Saturday morning to get ready to leave at 6 a.m. to drive 3 hours to teach for 5 hours or so in West Nicholson. And then when I got there, I met a group of about 7 people who got up at 2 a.m. and walked for 7 hours to get to the meeting place. And Foy, toward the end of his life, he passed away in Nashville with near his daughter. He was very convicted about developing a concordance for these people in the Undebele language so that they could find scriptures. And this is one of the events in his life that really impacted him to write this concordance. Foy began to dream of writing concordance in the Undebele language when he visited a small congregation in a rural part of Zimbabwe, and an evangelist asked him, one of the local evangelists there, asked him where to find a verse in the Bible. Foy said he had been reading his Bible for months trying to find that one verse. He knew it was there. He just couldn't find it. And so Foy went on to finish the concordance in 2011 in that language. He was 90 years old, and it took him 10 years to write that concordance in that language. And it's in circulation today in Zimbabwe. Or maybe closer to home, some of you may know the name Gary Sandusky. This was about him when he became a Christian. There was a man at his work that asked him if you were ready to die and if he was going to heaven or hell. And that really touched his heart. And so he says, and I quote, "I went home, I shaved off my beard, I cut my hair, threw my pornography in the garbage, flushed some drugs down the commode, and poured out all the whiskey I had in the house. And I sat down on the couch, and I tried to read my Bible, but I had a big obstacle. I graduated from high school without learning how to read." This was in the 70s. "I sat and cried and thought what to do. Soon I went searching for the Bible on tape and began to sit up until about 3 or 4 each morning and listen to it. I wanted to saturate my mind with just what the Bible said." And Gary went on to preach the gospel for 45 years before he passed, just a couple years ago. He taught himself to read because he wanted to know the Word of God. Truly, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So here's the question for you. Would you have limped 12 miles because you value God's word? Would you get up and walk 7 hours because you value God's word? Would you look for months to find a passage? Would you learn as an adult how to read just so you could access God's word? And this isn't an emotional appeal. I'm not trying to pull at your heartstrings with no substance. I'm just asking you, and I'm asking me, is my heart that way? Do I seek the Lord and what He wants of me? And you know exactly where you stand with that right now. And you know exactly, if you were in those situations, what you would do right now if you had to make that choice. I want to confess something. I have never learned to love reading. Cami lives with me. I have never told her once, "I'd like to curl up with a good book." No, that's not me. But does it really matter how I feel about reading? It matters what God says about reading. I am convicted since I know how to read, and since I have access to this Word of God, I must read. I must inculcate that into my mind. I must know God, and I must fill my mind with His Word. In a different context, Luke 12, 48 says, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be required." But I think that applies in every situation. If we have been given much, much will be required from us. Let's close with Mark 4. Mark chapter 4. Now, this is right after the parable of the sower. And he gives the parable to the sower, and the disciples come and ask him about that parable afterwards in the house. And he says, "To you, the secret of the kingdom has been revealed, but to those on the outside, everything comes in parables." They were not seeking really what the parables meant. And so to the outside, they'll hear and they won't understand. They'll see and they won't see. And Jesus wants to give a clarity here in this teaching to say something specific about the word. Look at Mark 4:21, right after that situation, after he explains the parable of the sower to those few that asked him about it. Look at Mark 4:21. He says, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him." In the context, you might think that Jesus is intentionally hiding the gospel message, but no, he says that a light is meant to shine, and it has function and purpose. The gospel is going to shine. However, we must take heed with what we hear, or other translations will say, how you hear. If you have ears to hear, listen. Be careful in how you're listening. With the same measure, it will be measured back to you. Think measuring cups. You come to Jesus. You come to the Word of God. You're reading the Word of God in your home by yourself. What are you coming with? If you're coming with a teaspoon, you're going to leave with a teaspoon. If you come with a bucket, you're going to leave with a bucket. Full. Come with a wheelbarrow. He'll fill it up. That's the promise of God. That if we seek Him and we want to know Him, He will fill us. He will help us know Him. So I encourage you, as you've been given much, take much. As the riches are so deep in His Word, value it and bring your wheelbarrow when you read. Know God's Word. And if you're at a standstill, I don't want to pretend like everybody's perfect here. If we're at a standstill in some way, we need to talk to people who enjoy that, who are practiced at that. I've been given some strategies. I've brought something with me today. If you've got a question about how can I help my reading personally, I'm happy to talk more about that. We don't open a card from somebody to examine its copyright and to look if it rhymes and to see when it was printed. We open it because of the card giver. I desire all of us not just to learn to read for reading's sake, but learn to love reading this precious word of life from the giver of life.